Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Alan Lichtman, an American political historian who teaches at American University and has studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, a surefire way to predicting the next president. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984, including the last election, when against all odds, he predicted a Trump victory. His latest book is The Case for Impeachment. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alan Lichtman.
Thank you, Ian.
And given the release of the transcripts from earlier conversations that Donald Trump had with world leaders shortly after he was inaugurated back in January, is the fact that these indicate an incredibly ignorant, delusional, unqualified president who barely has a command of the English language, is any of that impeachable?
Probably not impeachable per se, but it certainly adds to the context of impeachment. It's really important for everyone listening to understand that impeachment does not require an indictable crime. Impeachment is essentially a combined legal, political, and moral judgment. It is a judgment made by a political body, the United States House of Representatives, that has the sole authority for impeachment under the Constitution. And the framers explicitly did not put the power to impeach in the hands of the judiciary. So when you're dealing with the judgments of a political body, context matters, setting matters. And everything that Donald Trump says and does is part of the deliberations for impeachment. It might not directly affect what the special counsel is doing, which is a separate investigation. It's not an impeachment investigation, but it could very much affect what the U.S. House of Representatives does. Now, remember, the House is controlled by Trump's party, the Republicans. But it would only take, as I point out in my book, The Case for Impeachment, only some two dozen Republicans to join with Democrats for a House majority. And one of the Lichtman rules of politics is the first requisite of an office holder is survival. And this kind of ugly revelations from Donald Trump, at a time when his approval rating is already in the mid to low 30% range, is a warning signal to those members that Trump could be a liability to their political survival.
Well, it seems to me that this is a great American tragedy in a way. He's got this solid support, and admittedly, it's down to 33% now. And they voted for...
Yeah, it's looking a little more like applesauce than a solid mixture.
Right, but they're not wrong in wanting a change. Nobody's wrong, I think, in believing that the political establishment that we've had for decades has not necessarily performed well. So on the one hand, you know, his supporters seem to like the idea that he's breaking the China, but they don't understand that he's incredibly ignorant. It's on the one hand, it's not a bad idea to question the logic of why things are done and why business as normal is the way to go. But on the other hand, when you read these transcripts, you realize this guy is woefully ignorant of just all of the parameters of any reasonable discussion.
Well, that's right. And here's what's worse. He's not just ignorant. He doesn't care. It's not as if, okay, I really don't know much about international relations. I don't know much about policy making, healthcare, you name it, but I can learn. I can learn on the job. There's none of that. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to learn. It doesn't matter to him one way or another. As I point out in The Case for Impeachment, if you look at his 40-plus years of history before the White House, as a business person, as a TV star, he cared about one and only one thing, and that was Donald Trump. Everybody else was collateral damage, whether it's the contractors he stiffed or the people that were left holding the bag when he declared bankruptcy, or investors in his many failed buildings like the condo towers in Fort Lauderdale and Tampa, Florida. They didn't matter. Plus, truth, logic, evidence makes utterly no difference to Donald Trump. Again, in my book, I point this out, that throughout his career, through the presidency, truth to Donald Trump, knowledge to Donald Trump, was what he believes at the moment and what serves his interests at the moment. So you and I and others can criticize him, point out his ignorance, point out his vulgarity, and it doesn't matter to him. You can't shame him. As long as he can still go to West Virginia and get adoring crowds, none of the rest of it matters to him. And that's critically important to understand. There's no learning curve here.
But it's one thing for him to be completely obsessed with himself and have no concern about anybody else and had absolutely no relationship with the truth. And facts and evidence don't matter to him, as you pointed out. Why is it, though, that his supporters feel the same way? Why is it that facts and evidence do not matter to them?
Yeah. First of all, you got to understand, most people don't follow politics all that closely. They don't follow the ins and outs. They don't fact check what is said. And Trump is a master practitioner of what I called in the case for impeachment, the big lie, you know, the favorite technique of dictators. If you say something, regardless of its relationship to the truth, and you're in a position of authority, and you repeat it over and over and over again, it sticks. What was absolutely extraordinary was this recent poll, Morning Consult Politico, which showed about half of Trump's voters believed that he won the popular vote, even though he lost the popular vote by 2.9 million voters. The other thing, you put your finger on it, and this was also the reason I was able to predict a Donald Trump victory. It was not because of Donald Trump, but because I believed that the American people were indeed ready for a change, that they were unhappy with the establishment of both parties. They were unhappy with the incumbent administration, which they felt hadn't fully served their needs. We saw that played out in the Democratic primaries. Who would have imagined that Bernie Sanders, you know, someone who no one ever heard of, you know, a man in his 70s, could have given Hillary Clinton such a battle? And that's why Donald Trump won the presidency, because people wanted something new. And at least his base supporters are not willing to give that up yet. They are still hoping, you know, that Donald Trump will shake things up in a way that serves their interests. Plus, he's pretty shrewd at doing things that appeal to the base, even though they have no hope of being put into policy, such as this new immigration plan to slash our immigration policies by half and change the basis for letting people into this country. That's never going to happen, but his base loves it. Or the attorney general, who he, in a very phony way, attacked, he loves Jeff Sessions, let me tell you, because Jeff Sessions represents what his base stands for. Jeff Sessions saying he's going after affirmative action. You know, that's not going to mean much, but again, it is something that appeals to the base.
Well, but you could jerk their chain for a while, but not forever. I mean,
that's right.
I don't understand, though, and I know we've spoken way back when you were making these predictions that Trump would win against all odds. But I did some homework, as you clearly have done in your book, Alan Lichtman, The Case for Impeachment. I did some homework when it became clear that he was the nominee. And then when he became president, I talked to a bunch of businessmen who had dealings with him. And the one thing that in common with all of the people I talked to was that they felt when they met with this guy, they were appalled. And they basically all said, this guy is in his own world. And these transcripts that were released today by the Washington Post of these early conversations with world leaders clearly indicate that this guy is in his own world.
And you know what? They indicate a couple of other things that are really important. First of all, they indicate he doesn't care anything about policy, doesn't care about how people are affected, doesn't really care about the wall as a wall. He only cares about the wall because that's part of his political appeal. He said, you know, the wall is really unimportant. You know, I don't really care if Mexico pays for it or not, but you can't keep saying that because that makes me look bad. I can't take in these refugees for Australia, regardless of, you know, their situation, because that would make me look bad. The other thing that is so striking is his irascible relationships with Australia and Mexico, two of our most important allies, while at the same time he's closing up in these early conversations and even later to some of the world's worst dictators, not just Vladimir Putin of Russia, but Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines, who is tabbed as one of the worst human rights violators in the world, who is likely responsible for the deaths of many thousands of his own people. He seems to get along better with these awful dictators than he does with democratic allies.
Well, so do you see then, you've got Pence running around the world saying the opposite. Trump is obviously, you know, he had that private meeting with Putin where they made sure there was no record of what was said. And the fact that the House and Senate voted overwhelmingly for these sanctions against a number of countries, but mostly against Russia, is a clear indication that they don't trust this guy.
No, I think they're off the reservation. And his base will not hold forever. It's already beginning to erode. In these latest polls, you can see his Republican numbers going down. And while they will give him some time, they will not give him indefinite time. It's going to end at some particular point. And you're absolutely right. Most of the responsible Republicans in the Senate, less so in the House, realize Trump is driving the bus off the cliff, not only in foreign policy, but he's pursuing some very dangerous things, but in domestic policy as well. Look at the health care debate. He had no idea what was in that bill. All he cared about was getting a win. He's willing to let Obamacare implode and let people lose their health care just to get a win.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Alan Lichtman.
My great pleasure. Take care.
You too. And I've been speaking with Alan Lichtman, an American political historian who teaches at American University and has studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predicting the Next President. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984, including the last election when, against all odds, he predicted a Trump victory. His latest book is The Case for Impeachment. We're going to take a restation break. We're back joined in the studio by the director of the new explosive documentary from Netflix, Icarus.